It's the Last Call podcast. Chris Michaels, you made it to the end of the week. That's right. The weekend is here. Another day or another week in the can. It's St. Patrick's Day on a Friday, no less. So you can only imagine the debaucherous activities of many amateur hour drinkers that are going to take place tomorrow. I will not be doing anything like that because, well, I just can't stand any of that stuff. Well, here's the deal about SVB. So I made the assumption, or I tried to create the argument, that SVB was essentially a money laundering operation for the militant arm of the Democrat Party. You had people dumping money into SVB, and then that cash was then distributed throughout Antifa and whatever else, whatever other movements you have throughout the country. So I suggested that that event that demolished SVB was really a precision strike from the Trump side through Peter Thiel. Whether I'm wrong about that or not, I don't know. But the fact remains is that these people, left or right, good, bad, and ugly, they never let a crisis go to waste. So at the Daily Clout, and this was from yesterday, the tyrants are passing state laws to push CBDC. So what is that? Central banking digital currencies. I've brought this up many times. Get rid of physical cash. The only cash that you can spend is digital, which means it's not really cash. It's a coupon. So whoever is controlling or issuing the coupon gets to determine what the value of that coupon really is, and it can also vary in worth as time goes on in real time if they're trying to use something like blockchain. And then you can have regional digital currencies, you can have state digital currencies, you can have county digital currencies if you really wanted to. You can even have bank digital currencies. So if you put your money in a bank, your digital currency at that bank is going to be worth more at bank A than it would be at bank B. So you get more for your money depending upon which digital currency you actually use. That's the kind of dystopian future you're looking at with these CBDCs. The other problem is that it allows for complete control of how it is spent, where it is spent, and if you are a bad egg, they can restrict the distance that you can spend your money from your registered address. And guess what? They can track it through your cell phone. Especially, one more factor, if you were injected and the rumors about graphene oxide in these injections are true, then that graphene oxide is more than likely interacting with 5G, which allows it to be hooked up to the smart grid. And lo and behold, they know exactly what you're doing when you're pinching off a loaf, when you're just being a loaf. They know it. So this is the danger with these CBDCs. And this comes from, like I said, Daily Clout, which mirrored it from Tom's newsletter, Thomas Renz. And they're talking about how SVB, guess what, is not going to go to waste from the side of the World Economic Forum types. So they're going to take advantage of this situation. Here's a little bit. Along with the effort to collapse the dollar and our banking system, the tyrants are also pushing legislation that can allow CBDCs to exist legally and without competition. This is being done in a very sneaky way because of the massive political opposition. At this point, the major focus is on passing state-level legislation, particularly in a number of key red states. Bills are being pushed that appear innocuous, but are written to create a checkmate situation when CBDCs are introduced. And they continue, when it comes to who is behind the push to sneak CBDCs into place, you have to look at the Uniform Law Commission, ULC. The response from many lawmakers when people are questioning these bills is that it's a conspiracy theory, right? Everything's a conspiracy theory. COVID, mandates, Russia, Ukraine, the election, everything's a conspiracy. And guess what? People like me are right. To suggest that UCC bills still facilitate CBDC. And so here's what we also find out. The ULC, Uniform Law Commission, is promoting these bills that would change the Uniform Commercial Code, the UCC, to ensure that states have state law that is prepared to deal with CBDC. So what they're doing is they are sneaking in this legislation to make sure that once they switch this on, they know how to deal with it. And everything will be in place so that there will be no hitches once it's introduced. And they are, rumors are, that they are going to try to push this in July. So if they push this in July, you know what direction we are going to be going in. So they actually reference that they're trying to redefine what money means. And you have to go to HB 1165. I believe this is from Missouri. And it is all facilitating the growth of CBDCs and the introductions thereof. Money means a medium of exchange that is currently authorized or adopted by a domestic or foreign government. The term includes a monetary unit of account established by an intergovernmental organization or by agreement between two or more countries. An intergovernmental organization, what could that possibly mean? It could mean Treasury. It could also mean the Federal Reserve. The term does not include an electronic record that is a medium of exchange recorded and transferable in a system that existed, blah, 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 so on and so forth. It's dry toast. So what they're saying is we're going to take orders from somewhere else. We are going to make sure that central banking digital currency is going to be introduced one way or another, and it's going to interact with physical dollars on a temporary basis to make sure that one day when they yank those dollars, that's when they will really have the noose around our necks. So hopefully that doesn't happen. I sincerely believe they're going to make a push for it. I don't think they'll be successful. I think it will be another COVID-style nonsense event, you know, some kind of crash. Oh, and the only way out of this is to introduce digital currency because we need to move fast when these turbulent financial markets hit us. So that's the only thing we can do here. That's going to be my argument for that nonsense. And there was also an article from Zero Hedge saying basically the same thing. According to the BIS, Bank of International Settlements, during a systemic banking crisis, transfers from bank deposits into CBDC would face lower transaction costs than those associated with cash withdrawals and would provide a safe haven destination in the form of the central bank. The lower costs of running to CBDC compared to cash imply that more depositors would likely withdraw at a lower perceived probability of a system-wide bank solvency crisis. So there you go. They're trying to run the idea that, oh, it's just that much more convenient. So why wouldn't you use it? You know, like a digital passport or a little microchip beneath your skin. Oh, it's just that much more convenient. So why wouldn't you do it when you're trying to go to work or whatever else? So CBDCs are also being pitched as more secure than traditional banking, more regulated than traditional cryptocurrency. Watch out for this too, because I've been hearing a lot of rumors that they're going to try to strangle cryptocurrencies. So your Bitcoin and all of that, by saying, guess what, that's not real legal tender, real digital tender, only tender backed by the Federal Reserve or the government or something like that. Further, since the FDIC is now fully guaranteeing deposits in failed banks, you're practically banking with the Fed anyway. So that's what they're saying here. Instead of dealing with your local bank, they're going to consolidate all of the banks to be under the Federal Reserve. So you're not going to be a part of, what do we got? You're not going to be a part of Credit Suisse. You're not going to be part of Bank of America or Chase or whatever. You're going to be dealing directly with the Federal Reserve, the central bank of the United States. That's why you're starting to see more and more of these smaller banks go under. It's a consolidation. It is centralization of what is to come by 2030. That centralization is less banks. They've already done it in retail. Think about where you buy your stuff from. Whether you go to Whole Foods or you still go to a market, or if you're going online, where do a lot of people buy from? They buy from Amazon. So they've already centralized where you make your purchases from. Oh, if you go to Whole Foods, guess what? You're still buying from Amazon. So now they're moving over into the banking sector to make more centralization efforts. How are they doing that? They're taking out these smaller banks and they're saying to customers, to depositors, hey, look, this really isn't your fight. We've got some things to take care of here because we've got a 2030 deadline and we need to centralize all these banks. So when the new central banking digital currency comes into play, it's going to have a new value that isn't the same value as the current dollar. So we're just going to make you whole because it's really not your fight. And we're going to back it up by however many trillions of dollars we need, because guess what? Once the CBDCs come into play, all of those dollars switch. So guess what? Debt jubilee. You no longer have debt because you're no longer using that same kind of currency anymore, and you moved over to a different banking system that is not only centralized, but it is internationalized, if that's a word. So you now have a global or a Western back, EU, UK, and US, Canadian, probably Australia too, Five Eyes. We'll go down that road. Australia and New Zealand. That is going to be a particular currency worth a certain amount. So the dollar is just going to go away. The debt in dollars going to go away. That's what they're trying to do here. So this brings us to another article with Get Woke, Go Broke. It's time to talk about SVB's ties to everybody's favorite, the World Economic Forum. Stakeholder capitalism is essentially the opposite of free markets. It's a socialist globalist framework which uses corporations as an economic enforcement tool. Okay, corporations are already highly socialistic in their operations, blah, 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 so on and so forth. The World Economic Forum paints stakeholder capitalism as an effort to rein in the power of the corporate system in favor of social causes. In reality, it's a way to give corporations ultimate power over everything, including influence over public behavior. And they do that through ESG-based programs, ESG investment-based programs. What is ESG, you might ask? Well, that's a very good question, because I need to know the answer to that too, because I'm drawing a blank. I don't know. You get the idea. Socialist causes for social issues. And so what we find out that SVB was doing is that they were monitoring their employees. They were creating a work environment that was outlined by the World Economic Forum. What they were doing was they were using the World Economic Forum's recommendations for wokeism, such as a diverse workplace. Think about all the Democrats that were on the board. Think about their diversity on that board. Remember, at least 45% of the females of the board members were females. You had one LGBTQ RSTUV member on there. You had one African-American on there. And so everybody was very happy about how diverse this board was. And one of them, out of all of them, actually had the right credentials to be a board member. Everybody else was a dumb Democrat. So you find out also that essentially they were part of the World Economic Forum's Great Reset. They would put in these recommendations, how to liberalize the workplace, and then they would report back to the World Economic Forum and what were the results of those efforts within that company. So here is where they get into a bit of a conspiracy type suggestion here. They're suggesting that these types of initiatives introduced by the World Economic Forum and revamping the workplace is really a Trojan horse style event They put all of this stuff in there. You're not actually getting the most qualified person to take the job. You're fulfilling a quota goal based upon race and gender. So by doing that, you're not necessarily getting the best and the brightest. You're just trying to put in somebody with a vagina or a penis or somebody that has a darker complexion. That's all that's going on with these efforts. So what happens with that? They are suggesting, or at least this article is suggesting, that the efforts of the bank or whatever corporation that is... I stumbled over that one as I'm scrolling onto something else. So the problem with this, being that you're not getting the best and the brightest, it also means that the company is not going to be the most profitable as it can be. So you're hollowing out the efforts of the company and you're basically destroying the vision and the goals of the company. What does that enable it to do? It enables the company to lose value because you don't have the best and the brightest over there. And what happens when a company loses value? It now is going to be put onto the market so that somebody else can buy it. Whether they force the company to fail, whether the company just fails because of stupid HR policies, so that now it doesn't function as well as it should, so somebody else comes along, a bigger company, a bigger bank, an Amazon, it comes along, buys it, and then does whatever it wants to it. In this case, with SVB, we're talking about these banks below a certain level, right, of the top banks that are being hollowed out for one reason or another through one method or another, and allows these bigger banks and ultimately the Federal Reserve to purchase these banks to centralize the banking industry. That's what you're really looking at here, and they have until 2030 to get it done. They're going to push this kind of behavior, and I think what you're looking at is some kind of event, some kind of false flag event that says, oh, we need to do this right now, and then you'll get that idiocy. Okay, so that's going to be it for me. Oh, by the way, St. Patrick's Day, like I said. So it just was revealed that Haley Biden is a family member who got China cash. That's right, Haley Biden, Joseph Biden's brother, Joe Biden, and also, Hunter, obviously. Guess what they all do? They were all bag men and women for the Biden crime family. And so what happened was is that the Chinese money would come in to Robert Walker, who was basically I got to stop saying basically. How many times have I said that? It's a verbal crutch tonight. A Biden family associate, right? And then what happens is, Robert Walker would distribute the funds to the family however Joseph Biden wanted those funds to be distributed. That's how the whole operation really worked. Now, the question that you're going to start asking is, what does Haley Biden do? Haley Biden does nothing. She's essentially a social worker or a teacher type person. Why was she getting $3 million transferred, or $1 million or something like that, transferred over to her bank account? For what? What did she do? So if you listen to Twitter Spaces with Kim.com and also Garrett Ziegler was on it, it's basically violating FARA law. And so I said basically again. And she is going to be in trouble, hopefully, if they do something about it. Now, let's go one step further, being that it is St. Patrick's Day. Joseph Biden pretends to be, or probably is, part of the Irish Mafia. Joseph Biden, Hunter Biden, were good friends with Whitey Bulger and his associates. Hunter Biden actually did deals with associates, close associates, of Whitey Bulger, big-time boss of the Irish Mafia that was thrown into prison years ago. Keep that in mind, because when Hunter Biden, as Kim.com brought up, as my voice cracks, on the Twitter Spaces just now, when he was going through his legal issues that Joseph Biden was executing against Kim.com, every single lawyer, every single law firm, every single judge in that case was Irish. So Hunter Biden, Joseph Biden, they're all part of the Irish mob. Now let's take this one step further. Who do we know that is potentially Irish? Who do we know that was part of the Director of National Intelligence, worked under Biden, worked under Obama, worked under Trump for about a couple of months? Who do we know that is a 33-year Democrat, 33-year intelligence person? Oh, that's right. Former Lieutenant, what is it? I think it was General Michael Flynn. So he has become a little bit of a darling on the right, on the MAGA side, because Trump had to pardon him. And General Flynn comes out there and says these things that resonate with MAGA people, with Republicans, and so on and so forth. Knowing that he's part of an intelligence agency and has a 33-year intelligence background and is a 33-year Democrat, 33, Freemasonry, so on and so forth, why do you think this person who has deep Irish ties, right? And he is even, if you do a Google search on it, type in General Flynn Irish, you find out that he basically had an Irish nickname. He was the Irish something or the other in the military when he was in there. Factor in that the Bidens have close ties to people like Whitey Bulger, part of the Irish Mafia. What are you looking at here? You're looking at a fifth columnist insertion into the MAGA movement through General Flynn. I would not be surprised, and I'm proposing this, that Flynn, part of the Irish Mafia in some regard, Irish Mafia in quotes, maybe he's part of the Hibernians. Maybe he's part of the Irish Brotherhood, right? Those are all fraternal organizations. And so is Biden, I would contend. Maybe, just maybe, they're still coordinating their efforts. And maybe, just maybe, Flynn is going to come out next year in 2024 to pretend to be this MAGA person when in reality he is still closely aligned to the Democrat Party and closely aligned to Joseph Biden and all of his clan through this Irish background. Interesting, if true, I'm just throwing it out there. Rumor mill stuff, maybe me just turning the wheels a little bit too much for a Thursday. But that is my suggestion. I don't think I'm wrong, because a lot of this stuff does happen behind closed doors, and that's where I'm going to leave it. I hope your livers are going to be okay tomorrow with St. Patrick's Day on a Friday, no less. And I will be back next week. As always, you know what to do. A lovable fuzzball am I, and so are you. Last Call Caravan, Fuzzball Nation, if you're throwing hashtags out there. And also Last Call Podcast on all of your podcasting platforms.